This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Live, and you are invited to join us, 603-283-6160. You can weigh in on whatever we've been discussing. Talk about anxiety. Again, that's 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
Vehicles Mountaineer.
And Nikki.
And if you really want to, you can join in on the conversation we were having during the break there about whether what Nikki is eating is...
Cereal-free cereal.
Is a soup or a cereal.
So let me describe it real quick. It is cut up bananas with blueberries, walnuts on top, with milk in it. Is it cereal? Is it soup? Is it something completely different?
See, my initial assessment was that it was cereal, but there's no grain. Walnuts are really close to, I mean, they look like a grain, but it's not a grain, right?
Well, you see the milk and you're like, yeah, that's cereal. And that's what I always call it. I call it my banana cereal. Because it's like keto cereal, you know? Except none of that's keto, so never mind. But it's like carb-free
it's like soup,
cereal.
But there's no soup in it.
Yeah, exactly.
I told you, I'm willing to accept cereal-free cereal.
I really enjoy contradictions, so.
It's halfway to a parfait is what it is.
So then we thought about, well, maybe it's a soup, right?
And then we found a definition that I cannot even remotely agree with.
Well, because it, according to you, it excluded tomato soup. And
right.
I don't remember the definition off the top of my head, so it was a long, sort of laborious definition anyway. But so what would that concoction be described as? Soup or cereal or what would you call it? I'm still inclined to call it a cereal. I don't know that
that's
grains
what I call it,
is necessary.
So.
Well, no, grains are cereals. Like, that's another word for the same thing. And if you don't have a cereal in it, then it's not a cereal.
Maybe I should just make up a new word for it.
So
there you go. Well, or if someone wants to call in, be the first person to apply a new name to this food.
That's 603-283-6160. So it's either a cereal or a soup. And cereal fits to me better than soup does. But
agreed.
If we're sticking with that definition, which seems reasonable because there's no grains in it, then it has to be a soup. Even though it has no vegetables or meats in it, it seems like that's... So what is it? I don't know. But let's go to the phones. We have Shag on the line from... I did not actually get the location. Shag, you're on Free Talk Live. I think you said Maryland?
No. Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, that's it. Yep. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind tonight?
I just wanted to comment on and talk to you a little bit about anxiety, PTSD. And this is probably stuff that you might be well aware of, but... You know, trauma is a normal part of the human experience. We all receive, you know, trauma at one point or another in life. And it affects the central nervous system. And that has to do with, you know, as Peekless was saying, the fight or flight response. So when you're perceiving a threat, when you have a perception of a threat, cortisol and adrenaline spike. And when that threat is kind of always hanging there, that can put your central nervous system in a state where it's kind of always on that alert fight or flight mode. Cortisol levels are high, adrenaline's high. And I just wanted to also talk about anxiety and sleep issues.
Well, you said that. Before we get too further into that, I mean, let's have a dialogue. You mentioned that everyone, I think you said everyone has some sort of PTSD, and I would both agree.
No, you said everyone experiences trauma.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would agree and disagree in general. Maybe everyone experiences trauma. I'm not entirely sure. But I would actually make the argument that every person does have PTSD and that existence itself is a cause of PTSD. And we're just so numb to it. We're so accustomed to it that we don't actually think about it. I think it's my hypothesis that the very act of existing, of being thrust into this universe.
Yeah, with, being born.
Yeah, with no signpost, no guide, no explanation, just bam, here you are, you exist, there's no explanation, good luck figuring it out, you stupid monkey, is a traumatic experience.
Well, that's why no one remembers it, man. Suppressed memories from birth trauma.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't even matter if you remember it, because a lot of the things that happen to us as infants carry on and affect us emotionally and psychologically. Oh, yeah. We don't even remember that stuff, but that is literally the point of the birth process, is for it to be traumatic, to give people, like, the initial fighting instincts of life and survival.
But we're so young then that we, like, one of my favorite scenes, one of the most analogous scenes in movies that I can think of that is similar to this, is the scene in The Matrix where Neo wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
And he immediately starts pulling stuff out. He lashes out. That's what I think a person would do if they were just born suddenly at the age of 25 years
Probably.
Old. They just woke up and suddenly they existed. They had no existence prior to that, just suddenly. But we're infants when we first begin existing, so we can't lash out. We can't rip all the cables out. We can't do anything except
continue to
exist.
Well, they kind of do, actually.
What do you mean?
They kind of do, like, cry and flail a lot, so
okay.
Maybe
sure,
they are. But we just
as much as they can.
Yeah, as much as they can, but
I mean,
we just can't.
It's just that Neo had all of this, like, prior training of living in a body like this, and kids don't. Like, baby comes in and, like, they have no idea how to work anything except, like, their tongue, their eyes, and their lungs. That's
basically
about it.
So I think that I think existence itself is traumatic, and the whole of human history, or the whole of a person's life, is trying to come to terms with that trauma and try to make sense of it. And this is why governments and religions are so popular. They come along and they say, look, it's not pointless. It's not unknown. It's not a mystery. We have all of the answers. This is the point of existence. This is the reason you live, is to have this white picket fence and 2.5 kids and an 850 credit score and to...
Sounds terrible.
And to vote and to love your government. That's the point of your existence. And worship God, and then you'll go...
Naturally, the reason you exist is to serve me.
Right.
Obviously.
And then you'll have heaven, you'll live in Sugar Candy Mountain for all eternity, and that's the point of all of this existence, right? And that's my hypothesis of existence in general, is that it's traumatic, and we are struggling desperately to come to terms with the trauma of existing.
Yeah, right. And when we're, you know, extremely young, we're essentially scared of most things. And it's kind of the role, historically, it's the role of our tribe, you know, in the modern world, you know, tribes are kind of different, but it's the role of the tribe to essentially teach you and nurture you into a place where you are able to perceive what is a threat and what's not a threat, and you're able to distinguish between those things.
Well, that's one of the things about, like, post-traumatic stress disorder versus, so yes, we all have traumas. Now, what's the difference there is that with a stress disorder, you haven't integrated the trauma into your life.
Because
there are traumatizing things, but if you respond to them appropriately, then you can take that experience and work it into, like, your worldview and who you are and how you deal with reality.
That's very true. That's one of the reasons I'm against domestic violence to the extent that I am. I grew up watching my mother get the hell beaten out of her by alcoholics, and that was a traumatizing experience, and obviously that affected me profoundly, but because of that, I'm not a domestic violence. I'm not an advocate of, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not an activist who's trying to do anything in particular for domestic violence. I speak out against it whenever the opportunity presents itself, but I'm not out there, like, picketing to end domestic violence or anything like that. However, I'm very much against domestic violence. I don't even argue with people when I'm in relationships. We can have discussions, certainly. But as soon as one of us starts yelling or becoming hostile, I leave the situation. I'll come back when one of us has calmed down. Because to me, that's not productive, and it's not coming from a place that can go anywhere good. To me, yelling at one another is just a lighter form of hitting one another, and I don't want to participate in it. And this would drive my ex-wife insane, because no matter how angry she would get, she would yell at me, I would just turn around and walk away. And let me tell you, that doesn't make women calmer.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't make anyone calmer. It just makes them angrier. But eventually, they do calm down, and you can have a discussion at that point. Now, I wasn't always like this. You know, there was a time when I would certainly yell back or whatever, but people grow, and I think these are good things. So this is one of the things I said recently, and part of the sentencing, I'm having to go through a psychiatric evaluation with a psychiatrist, and I argued that I don't necessarily, a lot of people like painting things in the terms of, well, I'm an abuse survivor or whatever, trying to put a positive spin on a negative action. And I understand the value in doing that, like saying that you're an abuse survivor is taking ownership of that and turning something positive out of a negative experience. But there are no good experiences and no bad experiences. There's only, this is an experience that happened and it shaped me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cause and effect. There's no moral assessment to it whatsoever.
If I cut off your toes, that's a bad experience. I'm sorry, you're not going to enjoy the experience, and when we're done with it, you're not going to be more capable. You'll just be a person with no toe.
It's not impossible that something positive comes out of it, though.
Good things can come out of bad experiences. That's definitely true, but that doesn't change the fact that they're bad experiences.
I think that's just a value assessment to it that's largely arbitrary.
Well, and humans are the ones that are making the assessment. The thing that happens isn't inherently one way or the other way. Like, you don't know. You're making an assumption. She might like it if you cut off her toes.
That's true. That's true.
You know, like, you don't know.
That you would evaluate that experience similarly to me. Now, great.
Right.
Nothing is inherently positive or negative.
Certainly.
Value isn't inherent to anything.
Right. It's subjective.
All value is subjective and personal. But I assume that your nervous system is sufficiently similar to mine that you would find it an unpleasant experience for me to remove your toes.
Right.
And
that's a fair assumption.
Practically speaking, that would keep you from walking well, which I also assume that you appreciate being able to do.
And these are all valid assumptions, right? It comes back to this is basically the foundation of morality. It's a series of assumptions that I assume you would prefer happiness over pain, right?
And yeah.
Sure, that's an assumption, but it's a valid assumption that is true in almost all cases.
Well, the whole treat others the way you want to be treated thing that we learn in preschool,
mm-hmm.
You know, not everybody wants to be treated like I want to be treated,
that's
but
true.
It's...
Especially if you get into the minutiae.
Yeah,
right.
But it's just a safer assumption. You know, it's like a nice golden rule when you're in preschool.
Right.
Yeah, and in general, you can assume that someone doesn't want to get run over by a car.
Yeah.
Right? It may not be necessarily true. Maybe there is someone out there that wants to die, and we have a story about that coming up, because I think it's valid. If someone wants to die, they should be treated seriously. They should not be taken as, oh, you're mentally ill, and how dare you even contemplate such a thing. No, life is worth living. Well, this is that person's call to make, and no one else's.
Yeah.
And more assumptions, you know?
But, I mean, It amazes me that in thousands of years of human development, humans haven't become any more accepting of suicide and the desire to not be alive anymore than they were back when Plato mentioned how sad it is that someone would be suicidal.
Well, and I think part of this is, from those who do not have a libertarian mindset, it's very easy to believe that, because their whole perspective is that you don't belong to you. You belong to society. So you can't do this, and you have to do that, because society needs you to do that and doesn't want you to do this. Whereas from a libertarian or voluntarist perspective, it seems pretty obvious that at least you have the right to, even if it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, it seems obvious to me that if my life is mine, and I think even the most diehard statist would readily admit that my life belongs to me and no one else. And they would argue that, you know, I owe some allegiance to society or something like that. But I think even the most diehard statist would be like, yes, your life is yours.
And I suspect you overestimate them.
I hope not. But they don't extend that to the obvious reality that if my life is mine, then I can end it. Like my car. My car is definitively mine. No one would dispute my right to take a sledgehammer to it and, you know, bash out all the windows.
I'm sure somebody could dispute that.
But it's my car.
They don't care. You're causing a ruckus or something.
That's different.
They can
right.
come up with any reason.
Peace.
You know, like they
right,
have.
But all of that's different.
Yeah, exactly.
Assuming I'm not disturbing the peace, I'm just doing it on my property, and it's not disturbing the neighbors or anything like that. that no one has any claim to say, no, you can't smash out the windows in your car.
Yeah.
Well, so, for example, the COVID thing, a big part of that was the belief that you owe me having taken this vaccine. Like, this vaccine prevents the transmission of this disease. And regardless of whether or not that's a fact, even if that were the case, they believe that you owe it to them to put this in your body because it will keep you from transmitting a disease. So
Jack,
they don't believe that you own your own body.
Yeah, what else did you have to weigh in on? Sorry, we sort of got derailed there.
Okay. I was listening. Anyway, I can go on and on about PTSD, but essentially it's your nervous system getting locked into that fight or flight mode. And so it's important to investigate and explore on a very deep level what you are perceiving to be a danger. And there's dangers that are legitimate, and then there's dangers that are just totally not real. So you definitely have to, one definitely needs to explore that.
Well, I think in my case, it's pretty obvious. And I think why, and I think it's pretty clear that it's PTSD as a result of the rain. Yeah. And this is why I can't sleep more than an hour or two, but, you know, past.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to say, sorry to cut you off. A real, real helpful thing to do, if you can, is to find access to a sauna. And try to use it on a, you know, every day, every other day. Take very intense saunas. It boosts your endorphin levels like crazy. It's like kind of like an opiate. It lowers cortisol. It'll absolutely help you sleep. It's I call it the health elixir because it essentially is all healing in a lot of ways.
Maybe, and I mean, that's great, right? All of that's great. It would be great for me to not have PTSD from having it rated, but that's not going to do any damn good to stop these people from doing it to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's far more of a concern to me than is whatever they may have done to me. It's the fact that they will do this to other people. Not other people will be as well equipped to deal with it as the evaluating therapist said. You know, you're surprisingly resilient. Well, yeah, I've sort of had to be resilient, and that's sort of how resiliency works. But they're going to continue traumatizing people as long as the FBI continues to exist without justice. They did this over completely white-collar crimes, operating an unlicensed business, not having a business license. They saw fit to traumatize not just me, but several other people, breaking into our homes, violating the sanctity of our homes. And I don't know if anyone out there has ever really thought about it, but your home, your castle,
mm-hmm.
that if you don't feel safe there, then there's nowhere on this planet that you
yep.
can feel safe.
Yeah,
and
there.
What the FBI did on March the 16th of 2021 was guarantee that I cannot feel safe in my own house. And there's nothing more damaging to a person's sense of safety than that.
Yeah. And I hate to say it, but like, it is within your control to go to a sauna or to one of my favorites is to take a good, long, deep soak. There's lots of good data on that being a really effective way of lowering cortisol and all that sort of stuff.
Hot yoga.
Right.
Just going to throw that out there.
But I
Turk don't Ferguson
see...
on isn't going to be able to take that. you sweating and doing yoga in a sauna, he's the poor guy is going to have a heart attack.
But I don't see how it is in any way in our power to even get the FBI to, like, try calling first. Just be like, hey, I'd hate to have to, you know, beat down your door.
Or, like, just knock on the door and somebody would open it.
Just, you know, turn yourself in. I mean, you're not wrong.
Or just knock on the door.
Like, you know, hey, how's it going? We've got you surrounded. We didn't want to make a big thing out of it and freak you out. So could you just...
But they did want to make a big thing out of it.
Yeah.
They were super excited to bust down doors and point guns at people and do all sorts of horrible... Yeah, exactly.
Evildoers being defined as anyone who resists government.
And someone who doesn't have a business license. But you're absolutely right. There's a cultural problem here because they could have... Easily. I mean, Ian had an attorney of record already prior to the raid, and the FBI had been notified that Ian had retained Mark Sisti, and I think I saw the letter at one point. It said something to the effect of, so if you need to interact with my client for any reason, please contact my office so that can be arranged, right? Which is all they had to do was contact Mark Sisti and say, hey, look, we have a warrant here for Ian's arrest.
They needed to come here and steal things.
Well, they still could have done that. They still could have done all of this without the traumatizing aspects of it.
Yeah.
They could have knocked them. I didn't have an attorney on record, but they could have easily waited until a reasonable hour, not 6 o'clock in the morning, knowing, because they knew everything about me. They knew I worked night shift. They knew I had been in bed maybe 2 hours at the most at that point. All they had to do was wait until 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock
in the
morning.
Well, that wouldn't get them off.
No, this is the cultural issue that we have.
And that's
a
real part of this that I wonder exactly what the ratio is. Like, how much of this came down to the fact that it just makes them, it just gives them such joy to harm people, to scare them, to put them under their boot.
I mean, that's what it feels like. Why else would you smash out all the windows and show up with military vehicles and bulldoze down doors and point guns at people and make people walk through glass? It's because they enjoy it. You wouldn't do that. You don't do things that, typically, you don't do things that you don't like. You know, it's like, oh, and cops will give you that BS, like, oh, well, I hate to have to do this, but I'm just doing my job. Like, I really hate, no, you love doing this. That's why it's your job. I go to work every night because I love it. And, you know, I like taking care of people, and they like hurting people. And that's just what it is.
Sadly, yes, and it just cannot be stressed enough that all of this could have been accomplished in a nonviolent way.
Absolutely.
In every direction, all they ever had to do was show up with a search warrant, which they had.
Yeah.
Knock politely on the door and say, hey, look, we're here to arrest you. We're going to search your property. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, you can answer our questions. You can invoke your right to have an attorney present. You can do all of these things, but this is what's going to happen. Instead,
I was just going to say, all of these people, you know, you, Ian, whoever, are on record being peaceful, nonviolent people. On record.
Right, which is more than we could say about the people who bashed in my door, threatened to shoot me.
So just to say that it's unnecessary to do all of that, and they've came here before, knocked on the door with a search warrant, whatever, and the door was opened, and, you know, no one tried to attack them or ambush them. This could have been done peacefully.
Yeah, and even the, like, halfway measure where, like, okay, well, we're still going to be horrible, violent villains here, but we'll give you a call-out first, so you have a chance to not have your property destroyed and guns pointed at you yet. Even they can't even be bothered to do what their own things are telling them to do.
Well, they claim they did a call-out. I don't know if they claim they did one at my place, but I think they claim they did one here, which is basically just saying, open up, and then they undertake that.
Oh, at 5 a.m. when everyone's sleeping?
But based on the videos, there was no realistic call-out. There was no attempt to wake anyone up or handle this in a peaceful, sane, civilized way. It was just brutality from beginning to end. 603.
Probably all sadism.
603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Aides to President Biden have found at least one additional batch of classified documents.
We don't know the extent, the nature of the classification on these documents. We don't know exactly when they were found. And again, we don't know whether this was anything more than inadvertent error by whoever was packing the documents as they left the Biden White House.
NBC News Justice and Intelligence correspondent Ken Delanian says these materials were found in a different location than the ones found in an office last November. More Americans signing up for Obamacare this year than in the past. Nearly 16 million people have signed up for health care under the Affordable Care Act so far this year. It's a 13% jump from last year. And the Buffalo Bills say DeMar Hamlin is out of the hospital. He was admitted to the Buffalo General Medical Center Monday after leaving the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. The Bills safety suffered cardiac arrest in a game against the Bengals on Monday Night Football last week. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, needs a try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, and you are invited to take control of the airwaves. 603-283-6160 if you would like to do that. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria,
Beakless Mountaineer,
and Nikki.
And we were talking briefly during the break about our TikTok, because we do have a TikTok. You can find it at tiktok.freetalklive.com. That's TikTok .freetalklive.com. We're actually, I mentioned that there's going to be a lot in the previous segment for me to clip out and put on our TikTok channel. And I mentioned in the host chat several weeks ago that all people have to do is, like, make a note of a time frame that something really humorous or entertaining or a really good point is made. You know, it doesn't have to be funny. It doesn't have to be enlightening or particularly intelligent or moving or whatever. It can be any of these things or whatever, as long as it's entertaining. And, you know, shoot me the time frame of it. Let me know what the topic is so I know what to look for. If you say, hey, look, it's during this segment, obviously, being more specific is going to be better.
So in that first hour, right, there's this really neat thing.
Right. So, I mean, okay. We want the TikTok channel. At the moment, it's mostly, it's entirely nights that I'm on, because I'm the only one doing it. Bonnie started the TikTok, in fact, but she sort of dropped off doing it, which is regrettable because she watches more of the show than I do, so she, you know, sees more of it. But I want a wider variety of topics and hosts on the TikTok channel, so you can find it at tiktok.freetalklive.com. We mentioned it earlier in regard to the Conan thing as well. The drag queen clip, it's, I think, about a minute and a half long. It's one of the longer clips that we have up there, because all the TikTok clips, they tend to be pretty short. It's by far the best performer, though. Something like 18,000 views at this point, and that was despite being banned from TikTok. And yeah, it was temporarily banned for bullying / harassment. Apparently,
look what you did to Conan.
No, right? That's what I would have assumed, but no, they meant we were being anti-LGBTQ, or we were being anti-drag queen, because drag queen isn't necessarily LGBTQ, but
yeah.
But we were being transphobic or dragphobic or whatever the word would be, right? And so I appealed it. I was like, look, if you listen to the context of this.
Drag is at least cosplaying as trans, okay? I think we can agree on that.
Well, cosplaying as women.
Yeah, it's at least cosplaying transgenderism.
Well, I don't know if it's even that, right? Like, if Nikki was to cosplay as Sesshomaru from Inuyasha, which is just a male character, she wouldn't be being a drag king, and there wouldn't be any LGBTQ aspect to it. It would just be her dressing up as a character, right?
Well, she's definitely cosplaying trans, though, because she's switching genders.
At any rate, we certainly weren't being transphobic. Mm. And I appealed the decision saying, hey, look, if you watch this, it's pretty clear from the context that we were arguing against support of drag shows and the right of these people to do what they wanted and the right of someone that they didn't want to be affiliated with a drag show to just not go. So it was reinstated. But despite that, it still got to like 18,000 views.
So one of the things that I wanted to just point out there, so it seems to me that both sides of this argument really do have reasonable points. So on one side of this, they're like, well, if you suppress any form of drag shows, including having kids at them, then you are moving us in the direction of suppressing this entirely so that transgender people and then even homosexuals will all have to go underground again. And I can understand that perspective. On the other hand, there's the, like, well, we really, really, really want to protect our children from all forms of sexual connotation and everything that is overtly sexualized if we can do that.
So don't bring your kids.
But see, drag shows, again, aren't necessarily sexualized.
I think that's where there's just going to have to be a difference of subjective opinion.
Like, I realize that you disagree on that, but that's not the way that most people mean when they say drag shows are sexual. They think that they're up there dancing, doing booty dances and stuff like that. That's what they mean when they say sexual. They don't mean wearing makeup in and of itself is inherently sexual. That's not what those people mean. So when you say it's sexual, I want to be clear that you mean something fundamentally different than what the Republicans and conservatives. When they say that drag shows are sexual, they think that drag shows, that at drag queen story hour, that the drag queens are showing up in G-strings with dildos on their forehead.
And they're not.
That's what they mean.
I just think wearing makeup, even if it's very, you know, dark and, you know, very pigmented, and having large breasts isn't inherently sexual.
I agree with you on that. But let's visit the phones.
I think we're just going to have to agree to disagree on that.
That's all right.
Well, we are sexual creatures, and in that sense, having breasts is sexual because humans are sexual, and that's a sexual characteristic.
Like, but if I shove, like, a whole wad of socks down my pants, I'm being overtly sexual. Like, if I put on these giant, like, if I put on football pads to enhance my giant shoulders, like, yeah, I'm enhancing the secondary sexual characteristic of masculinity.
So then, to that point, it's almost like we're all being sexual all the time.
To some extent.
So what's wrong with drag queens?
That it's way more than they're comfortable with.
In which case, no one can be around children, right? Because everyone's sexual all the time.
I mean, I'm sexual all the time, for sure.
They probably feel uncomfortable with a certain amount of makeup around their kids. Yeah, they probably feel uncomfortable with girls in G-strings parading in front of their kids.
But G-strings and makeup, like, you can't compare that, though.
I think that is
totally different.
Yeah, I think that is a very unique take that I think what you're talking about sexually is fundamentally different from what the conservatives are talking about sexually.
But maybe not, though.
I don't disagree that obviously wearing red lipstick is meant to simulate sexual arousal. It's obviously, in that context, wearing lipstick is sexual, but that's not what conservatives mean when they say drag shows are sexual. They don't mean that wearing lipstick is in and of itself sexual. They mean they're up there basically doing strip teases in front of 5-year-olds. That's what they mean.
Some drag shows are like that.
Absolutely, yes, but typically, hopefully, the adult one, like 18 plus. Like, there will be a lot of drag shows that are like 18, 21 plus.
The ones where, but the drag queen story hours, they're not doing that sort of, they're not doing strip teases.
Yeah. More clothes, less twerking.
They're just wearing the makeup and the women's clothes and the wigs and that sort of thing. But let's go to the phones. We have Major Payne on the line from Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I got a couple of quickies here. Well, one's not a quickie, but one is, I was listening the night of the Conan episode, and I can see why he'd be a little bit butthurt. You guys kind of made him feel like the village idiot.
He was laughing with us.
I remember making a comment when I called in and said, I had to call in and give Conan a little backup here because you guys was on him like ducks on a June bug. But
Hold on, because let's go back to the episode in question. He was saying that, I mean, the part in question, he literally said that if they could get away with it, drag queens would be reading kids stories while wearing bikinis with dildos strapped to their foreheads. I mean, we could say we were ganging up on him and being mean and all that, but that's a ridiculous statement, and that statement is worth laughing at. And I think he knew that because he was laughing as he said it.
Well, I think you were
laughing at two different things at that point. He was laughing at the absurdity of what our society has become, and you were laughing at his perception of what society has become.
Possibly.
Well, there was a clip of one of the drag shows with one of the girls having a dildo stuck somewhere where it wasn't quite natural. And I think he just kind of went with that and ran with it a little bit too far, maybe.
I mean, we were also talking about one of these child drag queens. I don't remember the person's age at this point, but he was watching the video with us where he was like, look, you see these grown men, like, throwing.
Oh, yeah, you talked about that 10-year-old that was butt dancing around for all these.
But that isn't what happened. We saw the video, and he watched the video with us, and there were no dirty old men throwing money at this kid. But that didn't stop him from seeing it and from reporting it as though it had happened. He was seeing something that was not in the video.
So you both watched the same video and saw two completely different things?
Yes.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
All right.
Now, to back up the major on this, one of the issues that I do see in general with our format, so there's three seats here, and very frequently what ends up happening is that it's two-on-one. Very frequently, and this isn't always a bad thing, but, like, very frequently I've seen, like, you and Ian gang up against Mark. Now, that has been some of our most entertaining footage, for sure, but it doesn't change the fact that you can feel ganged up on if you happen to be that third person.
I don't doubt that at all. With me, Mark, and Ian, that's a shtick, really. And Mark and Ian and I don't think we've sat down, discussed it, and, like, planned it out, but we all know that's
just what happens to Mark when he's on the show.
Well, I don't know if that's what happens to Mark, but
it's what he gets for turning status on us!
Right? But that is, I mean, that is the dynamic that's at play here. Let's not forget that at one point Mark sat across from me and said, you know, you lady boys or whatever it is you call yourself, and pointed at me, and, like, that's just part of the dynamic of how we're interacting and how we're creating a show together.
I thought that was an almost exclusively Thai thing. Anyway.
Oh, right.
I don't remember.
No, they have, like, a special word in that language that basically translates as ladyboy.
Yeah.
But I even took a screenshot of him, you know, angrily holding the microphone and pointing at me like that as he called me a ladyboy. And I posted on Twitter, you know, radio host calls Aria ladyboy on the air or something like that. And, I mean, certainly, I mean, Mark, Ian, and I are certainly going to be worse about that than a lot of people would be, but it's also completely done in the name of fun.
Yeah.
So I got some news that's been buried. You remember that infrastructure bill that they shoved down our throats? It was like 7,000
yep.
pages, and I got like 24 hours to review it.
Oh, the most recent one.
Well, anyway, what was buried in there was a little tidbit that Sarah's just going to love.
What is it?
26, not surprised. They're going to have to put mandatory kill switches in all vehicles.
Yeah. I think we covered that on the show.
Yeah, Nikki, you brought it in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure no
you know,
one
I love my cars.
Has affected this. Totally
yeah,
safe.
I thought that just broke. But anyway, yeah, it's this is so hackable, so backdoorable by the cops. I mean, it's just...
Yeah. But I've got a related story.
Well, dude.
Have you heard about these digital license plates in California, man?
No.
Yeah, it's just like a normal license plate, except it's digital. It's a screen.
Hate it
right?
already.
Yeah, where they can just digitally program it to display your license plate code, your letters and your numbers or whatever.
For what? Like, what is the point of that?
Well, the appeal is that you can customize the message down at the bottom. So, like, go sports team or whatever you want it to say.
Why not put just a little thing at the bottom that you can customize?
Well, that would make too much sense, right?
So when these things glitch out and stop working...
Well, there's some... Exactly. Each one, it has a battery life, and the battery is only good for about 30 days. As it turns out.
So it sounds like just another reason, because when you're driving with snow on your license plate and the cops can't see it, they pull you over and they say, I can't see your license plate, so I needed to pull you over. This is just another reason to give cops to pull people over.
That's certainly possible. One of the selling points of this is that, like, you use an app to control it, because, of course, you have to have an app to control your license plate at this point, because humanity's not doomed quite yet enough. So
we shouldn't even have license plates.
Obviously.
Well, no, hold on. So you brought that up the other day, and the actual reason, like a reasonable reason to have license plate, is so, like, if you hit someone with your car, we can go, okay, it was that person's car and not that person's car. So there is some purpose to having an identifiable distinction for your vehicle.
Maybe to an extent.
But it shouldn't be. I shouldn't be forced to have one of
my
car.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem.
But if
it's forced, and you have to go through this very specific thing. Like, not even you have to have some way of doing this, but no, you have to have this way of doing it that, surprise, surprise,
and pay the state money. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
But if we weren't focus grouped into three different types of vehicles, that would be less of an issue anyway. I don't need a license plate on my car for everyone who sees it to know, yep, that's Aria, because I'm the only person driving around a Mitsubishi Eclipse, from what I can tell, in the state of New Hampshire. However, everyone else is driving a hatchback. Everyone else is driving a hatchback or a sports sedan. Or what is
SUV.
The other one? Or an SUV. There's only three models of vehicle.
Yeah.
It's exactly as bad as North Korea, where in North Korea you have, 16 official haircuts that are available for women, and that's it?
You forgot pickup truck.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's technically more than three.
She didn't forget. She suppressed it.
There's also Jeeps and stuff, right?
So, yeah.
Literally three is not correct, but every vehicle in the United States, it does fall into a few basic categories, and it's every bit as bad as North Korea's. These are the official haircuts you can have, or these are the official car models you could have in North Korea. The only difference in the United States is that it's a result of focus groups and safety testing and all of these other things, instead of a bureaucrat saying, these are the only allowable ones. So that's the issue there, is that we've been focus grouped to the extent that every vehicle is indistinguishable from every other. My other car, I have a Ford Fiesta, and for the life of me, I can't find a single feature that makes it different from any other sedan on the road.
Mm.
Which is, a sedan is just, I think, a just basic four-door car, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Or two-door.
I thought that was
coupe.
That defines
that's
it as
a
sports car.
Yeah.
But I thought a coupe was a type of sedan.
I don't know.
I think sports cars are kind of coupe. And, yeah, two doors a coupe, a four doors a sedan. I could be wrong. I'm not exactly a car guy.
I'm not either. But you see every Toyota, every four-door car out there could be any other four-door car out there. And I can't tell the difference between any of them. So in that sense, yes, we need a license plate to distinguish one car from another. Anyway, the reason I brought this license plate up is... I understand the appeal, and one of the selling points is that obviously you have this app and you put your car in lock mode, right? Which is, okay, my car is locked, I'm going to work or whatever. If the app then detects your car is moving, then it will change your license plate to display the word stolen, which you can understand, that's a neat feature. That immediately tells the cops, that anyone who sees that car driving by, that it's been stolen, right?
Unless you forget to unlock it.
Yeah.
Well, there's obviously some pitfalls like that, in which case you get pulled over and you're like, no, officer, look, I have the app here, whatever.
Too bad, gonna have to bring you in.
Right. But it creates so many obvious problems of, oh, well, you didn't pay that parking ticket, so we're going to change your license plate. We're going to invalidate it on the spot like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
oh,
it's
yeah,
not
straight
good.
Out of, straight out of Fifth Element.
Yeah, that's what we're heading towards. Thank you so much for the call tonight, Major. I've had that license plate story in my show prep for a few days now because it's it's tremendously fascinating. It's such a bad idea, right? Why do Americans keep doing, or people in general, the Internet of Things, everything has to be digital. What need is there to have a digital license plate? Are you people serious?
Well, and it's just, the big issue with it is, as I do, like, a lot of prepping and things like that, and just trying to be sustainable, right? Like, if the power goes out or something, I want to be able to, you know, be completely efficient without needing to rely on things like electricity and whatever else. People just keep straying further and further away from it. And as I find things from 100 years ago, 50 years ago, they still work perfectly fine. And they're actually more efficient than a lot of our digital things, or, you know, so I just don't know why we keep straying in that direction when they seem very ineffective in, you know?
Well, I think a lot of it really just comes down to our money system. So the whole fiat currency, the constantly increasing how many dollars there is, puts this huge weight on consumption.
Yeah.
Like, everything is levered toward greater and greater consumption. Well, at a certain point, you can't consume anymore unless you break it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, this works, so I don't need another one. Well, we'll just make it so that it breaks after a month or a year or whatever.
But then there are so many more long-term impacts of that because of consumerism and people buying things and just throwing them away because they don't want them anymore because they break. Now we have piles and piles of trash surrounding our planet, you know?
Well, and my point is that the consumerism is the effect of the money system. If we didn't have a system where everything was inflating all of the time, because, like, people have finally noticed the inflation mm-hmm. because it's gotten ridiculous. But the inflation, what they're aiming for, and what they will change things to make sure is happening is 2%, so it's always inflating. So it causes rabid consumerism because the environment will not allow any other behavior.
Right. The worst thing you can do with the USD is to hold on to it for a single solitary yeah. minute, because right. it's going to buy less tomorrow than it will buy today. So mm-hmm. even if it's just buying a battery, it makes more sense to buy that battery than it does to hold on to the USD. And to speak to the question of waste and all that, these things have batteries. That's so insane to me, because first of all, it seems
like, couldn't you just hook it into the car? Like, you have a whole electrical
right?
system
yeah.
right there.
I would expect something like that, or maybe
there was a handy dandy generator. Oh, right,
the car.
Or, I mean, there's any number of possibilities here. Even a little solar panel. How much electricity could this? And I mean, yes, okay, a solar panel is not going to produce enough electricity to power one of these things, but that's kind of the issue. If it needs that much electricity, what benefit does it have that a stupid license plate doesn't bring to the table? On top of that, the real issue with this whole Internet of Things nonsense is it eludes most people, but the IT security is not taken seriously by anyone who's programming and creating this nonsense.
Absolutely.
I did IT for the better part of 10 years, and let me tell you, no one's taking IT seriously. When they made your smart television, They never even, they took no steps to making it unhackable.
Right.
And it's just a matter of time before there's ransomware for your fridge, and you're being told that if you want to be able to open your fridge and have access to your milk or whatever, then you're going to have to pay 0.001 Bitcoin to some ransomware. And you're going to
We should be so lucky.
You're going to, right.
I guarantee you it'll be dollars. And you better spend $100 today or it'll disappear.
No, ransomware is always in cryptocurrency.
Oh, you mean free market ransomware as opposed to the captured ransomware of the U.S. government. Sorry, you made a jump there that I didn't see.
Oh, yes. I mean actual ransomware being infected onto people's devices, because it's going to happen. And cars, this should terrify people. The smart car, the...
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
The internet-connected car.
If you don't do this, I'm going to crash your car off this bridge.
Right, but they don't think anything about it.
The whole registry of car system, like the whole thing from top to bottom, every speeding ticket, every parking ticket, the whole thing is based on ransomware. It's like, okay, well, we have your vehicle at ransom because we own all of the streets that exist.
Yes,
so
but none of that.
If you want to use what's yours, you better give us this.
Yes, but that's none of that. A, keeps your vehicle from cranking, or B, has the ability to drive your vehicle into a tree at 80 miles per hour.
I mean, even the kill switch that the government is forcing car manufacturers to put in the cars, even that is so dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
And the way all of these things can malfunction. I mean, if your 1950 Chevy breaks down, you can pull over on the side of the road. If you have a toolkit, you can probably fix it right then and there, unless it needs a new part.
Yep.
You can probably make it go and you can get home. You can't do that with these brand new cars. You can't do that with these electric cars.
No, and this ransomware stuff is coming. There will come a time where you have to worry about the possibility of you're driving home and suddenly it plays over your stereo that your car has been hit with ransomware. And if you don't pay X amount of cryptocurrency, it's going to drive you into a tree and kill you. What do? You have to pay that ransom. And it's people can already... The headlights are being hacked by... That's the back door. Just look into it, because I can't think of the examples, and we don't have time now for me to get into it before we get into the subject, but the Internet of Things is a terrible idea. It's not secure, and it's going to destroy people's lives. There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.